Eye on the Arctic. Views from the North, I'm Elise Quinn. Now, permafrost thaw is one of the increasingly alarming consequences of climate change in the Arctic. And here in many regions of Canada's far north, it's already affecting not only the environment, but people as buildings and infrastructure in the region's remote communities starts to be affected. But new research on shallow lakes in the Arctic indicates that permafrost is thawing there too, and at rates we should probably be paying more attention to. Now, joining us now to tell us why is Chris Arp. He's a research assistant professor at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and he's also an author on a research paper looking at this question that was published in the journal Geophysical Research Letters. We've reached him in Fairbanks. Chris Arp, hello.
Morning.
Tell us, before we get into some of the details, why you were interested in looking at this subject in the first place.
Well, in the area that we're working on, the Arctic coastal plain of northern Alaska, there are a very high coverage of lakes on the landscape. Probably about 20 to 30% of the land is actually covered by lakes.
That's a huge amount.
Yeah, so it really... They play a real important role on how those landscapes function and the habitat that those landscapes provide, and also how they interact with things like permafrost.
Tell us a little bit about what you found. We're going to post a link to the actual paper on the website, but tell us a little bit, for people that might not be scientists, talk us through a little bit about what you found and why it's important.
Sure. So the thing about all of these lakes is they're actually very shallow, and it's just related to how these lakes form in permafrost. A lot of these lakes are less than a meter deep, and those lakes almost always freeze solid in the winter just because the ice grows that thick.
When meters not that deep.
That's right, but they're still really large lakes. And then some of the lakes are a little bit deeper, and then those lakes don't freeze solid, so they have, you know, liquid water between the bottom of the ice and the sediment, and so those lakes are, the beds of those lakes are really warm throughout the entire winter, whereas the lakes that freeze solid are really cold, and those lakes still have permafrost underneath them up until what we think has just been occurring recently, where the ice has been getting thinner and thinner, and so now those beds of those shallow lakes are starting to warm up much more rapidly, and they're actually becoming warm enough that they're starting to thaw the permafrost that has been sustained below them for quite some time.
And just to make sure I understand correctly, what you're saying is that before, or a number of years ago, that permafrost would stay permafrost.
Yeah, that's right. It's not only it's really cold permafrost compared to some other areas, say like of the subarctic or boreal regions, but it's also really thick. It probably, in that region, is probably about 400 meters thick. And so once it starts to thaw, it starts forming what's called a thaw bulb or a talc. And that grows initially really fast, and then it slows down over time. But otherwise, the entire landscape up there is what's called continuous permafrost. And the temperatures are something like about -6 or -7 degrees Celsius on average. So still very cold.
And how is this different? I don't know if the correct term is terrestrial permafrost, but how is the behavior of this permafrost that you're seeing below these shallow lakes different from what scientists are seeing on ground, for lack of a better way to explain it?
Yeah, that's right. So there's been a lot of monitoring of what you call terrestrial permafrost. And it's warming very rapidly as well. But the thing is, it's still very cold, like I was saying. And so even though it's warming rapidly, we don't really expect to see a thaw near the surface of that permafrost for, something like 50 to 100 years. Whereas this permafrost below these shallow lakes is warming up and thawing right now. I guess there's some, depending on how you look at it, there's some positive aspects of thinning lake ice. When you have thinner lake ice, you actually increase the habitat for overwintering fishes in a lot of these lakes, because obviously if they freeze solid, they can't serve as places where fish can live over the winter. And also, like, the petroleum industry, which, like, a lot of this study took place in the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska, and they use lakes in that area to build winter ice roads. And so they need liquid water for that. And so if you get thinner and thinner ice, you actually have a greater supply of liquid water through the winter. So those are kind of positive aspects. But then, of course, the negative is that you do get permafrost thawing, and that can do things like release greenhouse gases like methane. And also there's a tendency for lakes that have thawed permafrost below the beds also are more susceptible to erosion along their shorelines.
And now that you've looked at this, was there anything, when you look at sort of back at everything you discovered through this research, is there anything that really surprised you, or were you sort of expecting this?
So I think we were kind of expecting this. The actual rates of warming, I think, were higher than we expected to see. And I think actually the depths where these are occurring are actually shallower than we expected to see. I guess, and the other thing that's kind of interesting is that, so the lakes that are actually deeper, so that don't freeze solid in the winter, those rates of warming at the beds of those lakes are actually very slow. They're much slower than atmospheric warming or warming of the terrestrial permafrost. But the thing is, they're already well above freezing. So I guess, like, kind of the take-home message is those lakes that are really shallow are warming really fast. But the lakes that are a bit deeper, actually, the rates of warming are very slow. So there's kind of this differential response of these ecosystems, which I think is interesting. And I don't think we expected to see that necessarily.
Well, Chris Arp, thank you so much for taking the time to explain that to us today.
Sure. You're welcome.